All right. I say we should open our Bible somewhere, Isaiah chapter 2. Now, before we read it, let me just remind us of what we have been saying and where our emphasis have been on. Now, what we have been discussing has been the matter of, we titled it, The Light of the World. Now, that's what we have been discussing. I want us to just notice that. And then the emphasis in that is on the fact that anytime God wants to do something in life, he always requires people. It's important we get that very clear. It says that a body thou hast prepared for me. It says sacrifice and offering you have not desired. Jesus was speaking, or David was speaking prophetically about him. He said a body you have prepared for me. That is, before you can do anything, you must have some body through which you will do it. Does that make sense? The English I have just used there. You must have a body, all right? And somebody must be used. And that is the order of God. So we said that when God wants to do things in life, first thing he does is to look for somebody. And everybody must understand that the reason why he has a body on the earth is because God fashioned his own body to do a particular purpose on this earth. That's what I'm saying very clear there. All right, that's what we have been saying. And we have discussed, one of the things we discussed very extensively, which I think is very important among the things that we have said, is that issue of fear. That the main reason why people don't follow the purpose of God for their life is the fear of tomorrow. The fear, like Jesus said, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, when people are afraid of such things, they become crippled in their ability to obey God. And Jesus said, well, John was saying in the Revelations, that the solution to that is that he said they overcame the beast this way. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and next, because they did not love their lives unto death. And so Jesus said, those who will love their lives and therefore will not want to lose it are the ones that will lose it. But those who will not mind losing their lives so that they can inherit the kingdom, they are the ones that will not lose their lives. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? So that if people are not delivered from the fear of losing their lives, they will not be able to do anything for God on this earth. Now, those are amongst the most important things that we have discussed in the last many weeks. We have been speaking about the light of the world. Now, today I want us to continue. There's a particular thought I want to introduce today, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It said, now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. And all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. He said, for the Lord will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Please notice this. He said, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the supreme mountain of all the mountains. And he now said, people will come and say, let us go to that mountain, to the God of Jacob. The purpose for coming is that he may teach us concerning his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Now, there's another scripture I want us to read before I go into the things I want to say today. First John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. And he said, that is our faith. I want you to notice something. He did not say, whoever is born of God. This came to me many months ago in understanding. He did not say, whoever, the people. Do you understand that? He said, whatever. That means that people are included. Animals are included, you know what I'm saying? Principles are included, companies are included, businesses are included, universities are included. Whatever it is that is born of God overcomes the world. I want you to understand that. Now, what we're going to talk about today, like I said at the beginning, we're reading from Isaiah chapter 2, we're talking about the light of the world. And there is something I want us to understand in the thoughts I'm going to bring out today. The Bible says that Noah was righteous in his generation. There's something there that is important that we note. That Noah was said to be righteous in his generation. And there's something about righteousness which I will highlight as we go on. It is interpreted according to dispensation. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say here. That is, in Noah's generation, he was considered a righteous man. And in this generation, what made Noah righteous may not be adequate for God to consider us righteous in this particular generation. It's important you get that point very clear. Noah was considered righteous in his generation. Now, having read the scriptures, let me now go on and pass my comments, and I believe we will learn a thing or two. Now, there's something, when we're talking about the light of the world, I said that God's purpose is done through his church. The Bible said that we are the body of Christ. Do you understand? That is, when God wants to do something on this earth, he does it through his body. Now, there's something I want us to note in this matter of righteousness in the generation. What God does is to set a standard of righteousness each time and to increase it with every subsequent generation. Do you get what I'm trying to say? There's a reason why I'm explaining this. You know, sometimes you look, I've seen, one day somebody told me about a man who wanted to marry a second wife. And the man goes to church, so he now settled down. The guy who was telling him the story said, of course, the church people, they refused and they were threatening to excommunicate him if he tried it. So the man sat down and said, where did the Bible say that he cannot marry a second wife? After all, you know, David did. Solomon is a terrible example in that regard. Many people have done that before now. You know, sometimes if you don't understand the things of God well, such people might throw you off balance. Because it's just dawn on you that you too, you can't even quote scriptures for him, but you have always believed that God doesn't like people to marry more than one wife. And in case you want to hear it clearly, God does not want you to marry more than one wife, just for record purposes. But with David, the Bible said categorically that David did not do anything wrong, apart from the case of Uriah. And yet, he married many wives. But, well, this is just by the way, that doesn't mean God sanctioned everything that David did as being correct, all right? But there's a reason why God described David like that, because you talk about his generation. What was important to God, why God picked him as king, he never failed God in that regard, apart from the case of Uriah. Do you understand my point? He obeyed the word of God to him at all times, apart from the case of Uriah. Now, when God rejected Saul, don't forget this, God rejected Saul because Saul was disobeying the instructions of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, this is how it is. In each generation, God has standards. And you know, if you understand this principle, you know it applies all the time. You know, if I say this, it may be funny. But I really believe what I'm trying to say. It may sound funny, but I really believe it. When I needed to get married, I went home and told my father that I wanted to marry the wife I married. And he okayed it. He doesn't know her father from anywhere. He never heard of her or her family until I came home one day and brought the story upon him. So when I now mentioned that my son can't try that one with me, somebody was surprised, like, what? After all, you did that. I said, yes, the generation is different. Absolutely different. Listen, if I say some of these things, it surprise some people. That the fact of the matter, listen to this, is that in true divine order, this is a fact. How Abraham picked a wife for Isaac was perfect. He decided where they were going to look for the wife, and he made arrangements about that ahead of time. I hope you're getting what I'm going to say. Now, this is a bit difficult to explain. I just want to bring out a point. Why could I do that? And I don't think my son will have the right to do it. The reason is because of generation. Now, my father didn't have the light I had, especially not at my age. Do you understand my point? Listen to this. I'm growing up I grew up as a young Christian in a network of believers, and my network of Christians keep increasing every day. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, listen to this. By the time my children are grown up enough to get married, the generation will be so different that people who were born in the center of the knowledge of God will be all over the place. I don't know the story, except by special divine visitation in which an angel will visit me at night and explain that this one that Akinlu has done is of the Lord. I know that. Okay, that is hard teaching for some people. The first day I said it, apparently Mike had said it before, and I was the first person who was hearing that was agreeing with him. about that. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying that. Let's just continue. Now, the reason is because things are in generations. Now, don't be afraid, all right? You can marry the wives you want and marry the husbands you like and surprise your father with a choice. Do you understand my point? You still belong to my generation. Do you understand? I'm just talking about in 20 years' time, that will not hold water where people like me are. Do you understand my point? I've told you before, if this will interest you, I am not following any of my children to any church for a wedding. If you don't come to my house, that wedding does not have my blessing. I won't follow you anywhere. After the church, if after the wedding in my house, you can go and do Thanksgiving, I will follow you. But if it's my daughter, you know, I have a daughter now. If it is my daughter, you are marrying. It is in my house. Good enough, I'm a rich man that God has made. I will have a big compound. I can host you. Do you understand my point? The responsibility of blessing my daughter when he's going out is with me. And where he's going to is with the husband. Understand? And the husband does not understand that he is not qualified to marry my daughter. He's too ignorant. Look at all of them looking at me like, this guy, this is another teaching. God, listen, let me shock you. There's no church that carries the blessing of God on any marriage. It's all a matter of tradition. It makes me laugh in this part of the world. They'll spend so much money on traditional marriage and go and repeat this expenditure on church marriage. Why, if you, the blessing of the pastor is so critical to your life, why don't you just invite him for your traditional marriage? Now, I hope you're following my point. Now, you now say that, why is it like that? No, you see, there are times people outgrow some things. I will not keep on walking in half knowledge for the rest of my life. Do you understand my point? The amount of light I've had now, by the time it's time for my kids to marry, I will put some things into implementation. Oh, God. I've lost all of you today. Why did I start with this? Well, I'm trying to explain some principles about generations. As light increases, God said, to whom much is given, much is expected. There are things you tolerate because the Bible will tell you something like, in the times of darkness, God just allowed all of these things. But now, he's calling everybody to repent. I will not continue in some practices that are purely tradition. People, with people thinking they are the order of God and not revolt against them after a particular point in time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, that is a fact, you know, all right? Those things I'm saying, they are really, really fact. Just that you don't go around rocking the boat. When I was going to get married, people could say, I can't marry this church, I can't marry that church. I was one person that I said, if my father-in-law was a Muslim, I would have followed him to the mosque to go and marry. No, honestly, just go there. This is your house. All right, fine. Have you finished the wedding? Then I go. If you're talking about a man of God blessing marriage, I'll tell you the truth. The person that blessed me as a man of God was Pastor Kwaju in Lagos. I'm not joking about that. I didn't wed in his church. I wedded in my parents-in-law's church, St. Paul's Catholic Church. That's where I wedded. My wife and I had agreed that when we get back to Lagos, Pastor Kwaju, I have never seen any man bless a couple like him. Go and watch him bless a couple. You will go and marry and run down there and put your hand head down. When this guy uses revelation to pronounce blessing on you, you go fear. No, there's a reason why I'm saying this. There's a reason. Because you see, then a lot of people I say, listen, as far as I'm concerned, it's a matter of generations. In my generation, things will be done slightly differently. Do you understand? Now, what God is doing each time is to introduce light. That's what I'm saying. And with each light he introduces, listen to this, he sets a new standard for the peoples. Now, I didn't say for the church, but I said what? For the peoples. Everybody around will learn a new standard of walking in life by watching the body of Christ walk. Now, listen to what I'm saying. One day, I read, hey, Mike, I think you were the one that took me down there. This International Christian Chambers of Commerce, their website. I accessed some information there. That was the day I understood that the current legal system we practice in Nigeria today, which was derived from the British system, was actually derived from revelation. You know, it was built upon a simple principle. If thy brother offends you, talk to him. Do you understand that? And if he doesn't listen, take somebody else with you. And if he doesn't listen, tell it to the whole church. You know, then, when two men are quarreling in lots of the parts of Europe, what do? They take their guns, turn their backs, you understand? Count 10 steps, turn around, and shoot. That's how you settle serious quarrels. Are you following the point? But the man said, this is not right. This is not biblical. I'm coming to a point. He took this system of justice to a new level by revelation. That is, the law came out of Zion. Then after that, every nation saw that that was good and they began to copy it. Listen to me. This principle of monogamy, that's a law in most nations of the earth. You know monogamy is a law in most countries. It's a law. In Nigerian law, you can't marry twice. Under this, I mean, you go to court, you sign that you have married, or you go to church and the church has the federal government register for you. If you try it and marry again, you go to jail. The people that have many wives, they are married according to traditional customs, the laws and customs of the peoples. The law in Nigeria does not recognize that you have two wives. Where did that start from? Even all these nations that have refused to acknowledge God, their laws of marriage were founded upon biblical principles. Take America, for example. There's what they call the marriage penalty. It's not as if it's a legal thing. It's the way people complain about it. If you are earning $50,000 a year and you are in the maybe 25% tax bracket, then you marry a lady that's earning about $50,000 a year also, who is also in the 25% tax bracket. I'm not sure the percentage. I'm just using that to explain. You know, after that, your combined income is now $100,000 a year. I don't know whether they review the laws now because people were complaining bitterly. Now, if individuals earning $100,000 a year are in the 35% tax bracket, you instantly move in there as a couple. So they call it the marriage penalty, that you are punishing us for being married. That is, as individuals, we're paying 25% of our income as tax. But now we have married, you're now saying we'll start paying 30, that you've increased the amount of tax we pay. So people were, I don't know whether it's been reviewed now. But what I want to get across to you from there is this. That was founded upon the principle, the two shall become one flesh. That, look, the law doesn't see you as two people anymore. That one person is earning 100,000 and you're supposed to pay, tax at this particular level. Now, I'm bringing out your point here. That law, all those laws, they may have forgotten the origin, but it was derived from the principles of the gospel. And they became a light to the nations. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They became a light to the nations. All the things we practice, you know, of course, they've been watered down. They've been, you know, now in France. Is it France now? Even in UK, yes. Everywhere now, men can now marry men. Netherlands, all of them. All right. Now, they've wrecked the... I said the question they have asked them, say, what the concept of marriage, where did it come from into our society? If it was so true that we evolved from animals, how did these animals learn monogamy? You understand what I'm trying to say? That, but it has been watered down. But the point is that the original thing that held those societies were founded upon biblical principles. What I'm saying, are you understanding it? I'm trying to bring out a point. That every time God wants to move people to a level. Now, the fact that David married 10 wives does not now justify anybody marrying 10 wives just because David pleased God with his 10 wives. The difference is that the generation has passed that 10 wives were allowed. Do you get what I'm trying to say? The generation has passed. If you try it now, I will be the first to disown you. Do you understand my point? And you know, if I tried it, next Saturday, now let me go there here. In fact, as soon as you hear, you will miss also that, this is Celestial Church of Christ we are coming to now. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Now, there's something I'm trying to explain here, because we're talking about not just marriage, but every aspect of life, legal system, everything. And what I want to say here is this. Every time the plan and purpose of God is to introduce new light into the earth. And the only way by which we do it, listen, is by his people. Do you follow what I'm saying? Who will live life differently? Let me explain further. There's a piece of iniquity that's very common in Eastern Nigeria where we are right now. You know, somebody asked me the other day, he said, how's my brother, Deji? I said, he's fine. He said, is he married now? I knew what he was saying. He's an Igbo man, I'm a Yoruba man. And he knows that in my place, for Deji to marry is not exactly a strange thing. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's who Deji has got to marry. So when I said that, we are not that bad. You understand what I'm saying? I told him, I said, we are not that bad. That was where I answered it. All right. Now, what was he saying? There's a typical thing in this part of the world, and you know it as a fact. One, before a guy marries, he must be made, generally. He must be made. I mean, struggling guys don't marry here. And the girls actually think something must be wrong with you if you are trying to get married. and you're a struggling guy, you know what I mean by struggling? What they call a struggling bachelor. Now, most people, at least in this part of the world, you hardly hear. But there was one guy, one struggling bachelor I knew once. He said he was getting married. And he's an Igbo man. So first question I asked, I said, where is his wife from? He said, Cross River. I said, good. I said, it would have been strange to me. Now, it's not impossible. I've seen struggling spinsters marry struggling bachelors. That's happened now these days. It would have been strange to me, really, that time. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. At first, I said, where's his wife from? They told me. I said, very good. I said, because in this part of the world, he's not likely to get a wife. The guy was very wise. He just went far away. A friend of mine got married, I've told you the story before, as an excruciatingly suffering bachelor. His own suffering was serious. And the girl just felt like, well, you can suffer all you want. My guy, you know we're engaged, and the engagement done the past like 2 years now. So let's just get married first, then we can continue the suffering afterwards. And I was a witness. No, listen, I was a witness at the wedding. They suffered through the wedding and suffered for a few years after. The next time I visited him, he had so broken through in life that he became my... I've told his story. I've used to preach not once, not twice, not three times. Are you getting my point? Now, which one is right? I will tell you what is right. The Bible says very clearly, it said, let your fountain be blessed and enjoy life with the wife of thy youth. Listen, it is a satanic principle to settle first before you marry. Okay, now. How many have I lost again? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your business is established. You have built a house. You have bought a good car. Then you add the last piece of manly requirements in life, which is a woman. Therefore, she shall bear you children and then take care of your house. And then God forbid that you should die suddenly. You think your brothers won't kick her out? They will. They will because, she was the last thing you added to everything you had. Listen, you know, I was hearing they passed a bill in Enugu State on widows' rights. I smiled to myself. I said, you see, iniquity is in the heart. No matter how much you legislate it, it go hard to fight. That the reason why the widow doesn't have rights, which is difficult for God to defend her, is because before she married also, she said, I can only marry a settled man. So God said, you have not married the husband of your youth. Therefore, he said, I will not defend you in the time of trouble. Listen, God told the children of Israel in Malachi, he said that I will no longer receive sacrifices from your hand. Why? Because you dealt treacherously with the wife of your youth. There was a reason God said that. This man had a dream, he had an idea. And then, for those of you who know, go and read the Robert Kiyosaki story. He'll tell you how he and his wife were living inside their car because they had nowhere else to live. But they had a dream, they had a vision. The guy who wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad. Now, I want to use him as an example. And then, of course, by the time you read Rich Dad Poor Dad, the guy was a millionaire. Do you understand? And since you read it, he has become richer. Because you know the way things are. When the harvest is ripe, you put in the sickle because the harvest has come. You understand my point? After writing Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you write Rich Dad, Poor Kid. Then you write Rich Kid, Rich Dad. Then Poor Dad, Rich Kid. That's the way it is. Then you now write Rich Dad's Guide to Investing. And then Rich Dad's Defense Against Losing Money in Investment. Then Rich Dad, Poor Dad Workbook. No, Americans are experts at it, whether they are churchmen or not. They are experts at it. Don't be angry with them. It's called, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. It's in the Bible. Do you understand my point? You read from every angle. And then there's Rich Dad on audio tape. There's Rich Dad interactive website. Oh, at the end of the day, the guy is just swimming in richness. You know? Now, this is what I'm saying. Now, he married what the Bible calls the wife of his youth. If now, suddenly he gets one brainwave, and says, a woman doesn't smile well anymore in the morning. They now have irreconcilable differences. And then divorce starts. God says, I'm watching you. 10 years later, God will give and see a prostate. Cancer of the prostate. That's what I said. So those who don't understand, I was speaking medical terminology. You know why? God says, now you are made. You want to get a new wife. All right, let me show you. And you know how doctors treat see a prostate? To tell them after. I'll tell you, one of the ways that they will cut off the man's testes. So that's how God will use to treat the man for dealing treacherously with the wife of his youth. He will run from one crusade to the other. God will be looking at him and say, you want healing? Drive away that fresh one and go and beg the old one. I've used that to explain the meaning of the word, the wife of your youth. Now, I'm not teaching on marriage. I'm bringing out a principle. You think everybody in this part, our part of the country, will change overnight? No. God doesn't even want them to change overnight. You know who he wants to change? The church, the Christians. So you can understand that God is angry and disappointed when you go to church and the brothers are also thinking that, no, when you say, what, are you getting married? Married, okay, it will take the next 6 years or between now and then, but then, you know, he also has a mentality, I have to buy a car, I have to arrive first. Do you get what I'm going to say? They are beginning to lose the blessings of God. Are you getting my point? God is disappointed when the young women there too, they have the same attitude, the same mindset as other people around. That this is, because you know that the way it will happen. Your friends, if you tell you are getting married and they discover that your husband is a struggling bachelor, you want to marry this cheap way of all the men around that you want to marry. You don't notice that he takes Okada to come for Bible study. Okay, no. You and your husband want to go out. So one Okada in front, one behind. When they finish painting picture for you, anyway, in case they ask you that, tell them that he will buy an Okada, two of you will be on the same one. No, listen, when they have finished painting that picture for you, most the hearts of most people fail them. Do you understand my point? They start telling you a story. There was a day a young lady was getting married, and one other lady was where I was, and she was talking about it. She said, that girl is very lucky. So I asked her a simple question. Why do you know she's lucky? Do you know the guy? No. But the guy is a very influential man who has a lot of money. So as far as she's concerned, she's a lucky girl. And I shook my head. There was the luck in it. You want to see a lucky woman? Go and meet my wife. She's very lucky. Because she married the wife of the husband of her youth. I mean, we both trekked into marriage. It's very fantastic. That is, you trek into matrimony. Do you understand my point? That is, what God is saying is this. When you are starting out in life, listen to me, as a young man, the worst time to get married, to find the wife, the most difficult time to find the true wife, except by serious divine revelation, is when you are properly made. You know that? Because everybody is a friend to the man that has. I like what the pastor Paul, you said once. He said that if you have arrived and you want to marry, he said you want to go and visit the woman, he said, wear salubata. Don't bat, scatter your hair. So that, he said that the reason is that, he was talking about shifts in seasons, that your life is in seasons, and that usually towards the end of a season, you will go through crisis so that you can spring into the next season. That's what he was saying. So he was using that one to explain the principle that you have to use revelation. Now, get what this point clearly. There's the words or the things that you are persuaded about that move you into your seasons, that your wife must buy it before you can marry her. You're not getting what I'm going to say? Let me explain what I'm saying. That is, what is it that is moving you in life? If it's revelation from God, that must be the thing that she's seeing that's impressing her about you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? You are getting what I'm trying to say. That is, when you have caught a vision, try and sell your vision. This is a fact about life. Anytime you want to invest in a business, if you invest when it's already making money, the shares are very expensive. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now imagine that when these Google search, the first time they brought up that idea, maybe you sweated and pulled out $10,000 and gave them. Right now, you are a millionaire. In a few years, you are a millionaire. But try and buy the same shares now, you can't raise the money anymore. Do you get my point? The reason being that the time things are cheapest to acquire in life is when they just exist only as a vision. That was why Jacob could easily buy Esau's birthright. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because Esau had not yet experienced anything. So he could easily, what is it? Give me the whole, take the whole birthright for one meal. But if Esau could see the manifestation of that promise years down the line, listen to me, you can't buy it. You can't buy it. I used to say something then. Let me say it again so that this young man, you go and use it. It works very well. Use it for women. It works very well. I used to tell women that if you knew who it was that spoke to thee, you understand my point? No, it's true. I like one thing Kichi Loputaife used to say that. There are all these young women that won't leave her husband alone. They should remember that when she married him, he was not like this. So if he catches any one of you, that, in fact, this guy says something, Oke Onuzo. I don't know how many of you know Oke Onuzo. I read one of his books. He said there are times he talks to young ladies. Why are you not married? He said, these men, they don't know how to take care of women. He said, what exactly do you mean? He said, a good man, they will describe what a perfect man is supposed to be like. He said he will look at them and say, that is true. He said, such men exist. He said, there are plenty around. He said, but you know what? He said, what? They are all married. He said, they are all married. And for your information, when their wives married them, they were not like that. That you see this perfect man you are looking for, he will need to train on you. That is, you are his training ground. A real man knows how to take care of a woman. They never know. Do you get my point? They don't. They are usually crude. They don't know anything. They are no, listen to me. Are you ladies listening? Good men are insensitive. They don't have sense. They will forget your birthday. Are you getting my point? No, listen to what I'm saying. No. They won't know how important it is that they should buy you a gift. They will invest in their business. In fact, they don't love you. Are you getting my point? That's a real man. No, listen. Is a real man supposed to be insensitive? No, but you are the one that will teach him sensitivity. That's what I'm saying. When you will marry him, he will be a nonsense, crude guy who doesn't understand that when a woman is moody, he should pet her. If till now, I have not gotten used to it. I still don't understand that if something is worrying you, why can't you just open your mouth and say it? Because that's what I would do. But well, if Muhammad will not go to the mountain will come to Muhammad. And since the wife has refused to learn it, maybe I should learn the other one. Do you understand my point? Now, are you getting what I'm saying? I mean, I used to read through this that a young lady said, old men are better husbands. I said, you are a thief. You know what a thief is? Where other people have labored. It's true. Other women have labored. You want to now go and reap. Then afterwards, you want your children to struggle with the children of the senior wife for inheritance only. Thief. Now, you are getting the point I'm making here. That, listen, when they are going to start, they're good men. They are always like that. It's as time goes on that they will become the perfect man that you have prayed for. You know, remember my story? That a woman will kneel down and pray and say, dear Lord, why am I talking about this marriage thing? All those of you that came with marriage issues, you see what you have caused. Ah, this man is scratching his head. No, you must be guilty. You know, there's a proverb in Igbo land, you know now, that if your person is dancing bad dance, your brow starts itching you. That is when the thing is concerning you, suddenly it starts scratching. So that you're scratching your brow and your nose. It's touching you, I know. The woman will kneel and pray, God, give me this kind of husband, you know. He must be handsome like Banky. You see, you talk. After you have prayed, he must be very rich. I like a man that's rich like this and this and that. You know, and then you finish. God will say, my daughter, I have heard thy prayers. Arise and depart from hence. You shall move down 2 kilometers. Then 2 men shall ask you, you know, the way God will send money. You know, they will give, he said, the one that giveth thee a cup of coke, that is the guy. And then, out of excitement, you get up. You move your 2 kilometers, then the 3 men appear, and then the last one gives you a bottle of coke. Ah, praise God! He said, you look at the guy. The guy is not fine at all. Actually, he didn't brush well that morning. Unfortunately, his beards are not even well shaped right now. Or he decided to go out because he's been working so hard in the studio, looking like a musician. You understand? His hair is in a tangle. And then when they arose to depart, he came out and said, Okada. Hey, climb on Okada. So you go back to the temple.
Say, dear Lord, there was a mistake in that communication. I thought you said that the guy who gave me a glass cup of Coke, that guy used a mug. Lord said, I never said glass cup, I just said a cup. But of course, since God won't talk so openly, you go and say, I knew you had to be a glass cup. Ah, thank God, I reject it in Jesus' name. No, you reject it in Jesus' name. And after rejecting it in Jesus' name, the guy departs. So the guy will come back again and again. He look and say, I'm warning you. Do you see your type in this house? Are you following my point? And of course, he's rejected. And the stone that the builders rejected usually become the chief cornerstone. You're following my point? All right, so then 10 years down the line, then when the one that guy drives past looking really dishy, like they say, snazzy, you get my point? The type that every driver will slow down and turn to look at him drive past. Look, I used to, that face looks a bit vaguely familiar. You can't remember the face anyway. The lady is still not married, 10 years has passed now. The Lord's cook is still coming. You know, Messiah can come and you don't recognize him. And 2,000 years later, you are still fighting Arafat about the Messiah that's supposed to come to one particular temple that you are going to build in a particular geographical location. And the rest of the world is enjoying the Messiah and he's blessing them, healing them, and increasing them and prospering them. And they are gathering at times like this, speaking the word of that Messiah. You know it happens. You know it happens. So of course, one Gentile has married the guy when the Jew rejected him. One Gentile will marry him. He said, look at that. What's wrong with this? What's this? What's my name again? Chukubi gave me this. I accept that now. He's the perfect picture that you painted in the temple 10 years ago. Guy is really fine now. Now he has remembered to shave. Of course, his wife reminds him now. Actually, his wife forces him to shave. Most guys never buy antiperspirant until a woman buys for them. Most. I'm not saying all of you. And all of them are looking very guilty because no woman has bought for them and they have never bought antiperspirants. That's why they are not talking. No, it's true. You ladies, at the end, next birthday of these guys, buy one antiperspirant. That will be their initiation. I was like, that's in my life too. That's why, it's something that happened to me before. No, I'm telling you, when you're thinking about a present to buy for a man, initiate him. No, it's called initiation. After you bought the first one, he will buy the next one. So now the guy is really, you know, there's a smell of wealth that goes with rich men. You don't notice before? Even if the guy comes wearing slippers, there's a way he enters. There's a particular kind of soap my wife bought some time ago. I told her to buy it again. Now I'm the only one that uses it. You know why? When you finish bathing, you smell rich. That's my only reason why I like it. The smell sticks on your skin. So what I do is that sometimes you see me sniffing the back of my hand. It's the soap. Amen. Now, my message for today, maybe I'll preach it next week. Those who came with marriage issues, look at what they have done to us. Now, are you getting my point? So, the guy looks very, but he's not the perfect picture. But, of course, it is too late. That is, Jesus said, you did not recognize the time of your visitation. What am I saying? When God brings that answer, it does not always look like it. It doesn't always look like it. And it's not only marriage. In many things, there are many people who are praying, God, I want to be a successful businessman and all that. And God is giving them ideas. Remember, there was an example I used when I went to preach in the church. That the man that God has ordained right now to become the owner of the best private airline in Nigeria, possibly God will start him with an Okada. He may not be the one riding it. He may give out a few motorbikes and crash helmets for guys to be returning to him 500 naira a day. Do you understand the point? And after that, he moves on to, there are fine buses in town now. He moves on to buses. Then these pujos that they are using all over town now, experts, a few experts. But there's something about the power of God's blessing. It ensures that it increases all the time. Then one day God arranges one interesting arrangement. He finds himself owning maybe about 10 luxury buses. And before he's through with that one, doors have opened. They have small planes that, you know, people would come and lease. And one day, you know, another Richard Branson is born in Nigeria. You are getting what I'm going to say? But God is saying that if he didn't buy those Okadas, I would never have taken him anywhere. Do you understand my point? I was preaching on radio this morning. Among the things I gave as examples is that people that will own universities are probably teaching primary and secondary schools now. And God said, do you know where I'm taking them to? The best universities, the best hospitals in this country, they are going to own them. But right now, you know what they are doing? They are teaching primary schools, they are teaching secondary schools. And God said, if they don't do well in doing that, I won't take them anywhere. That the reason I keep people in low places is for them to qualify themselves for high places. Do you understand my point? When the ruler gave out talents to his servants, it was so that he could use their performance to set them over cities. Is what I'm saying making sense to you? Now, let me get back to the main thing I'm trying to say for the day. So I don't know like how I digress to that level, I don't really know. But now let me connect from one particular point. So I was saying about that marriage matter, that if things are going to change in an environment, what God will do is to change the lives of certain people there first. And God will now use them as examples for everybody else to see. That's why we read from Isaiah chapter 2 now. It will come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be exalted above all the mountains. And then people will now flow to it and say, we have noticed that this is the way to make progress in life. Teach us the ways of your God. Are you getting my point? Listen, the church that does things like the rest of the world is as impotent as can be. They are not affecting anything. I was going to say something about business principles. One of the things that underlie, now I have studied enough to know this. You know, it's a fact that most businesses, I keep on forgetting the statistics, most businesses collapse shortly after they are born. Within the first 5 years, they are dead. There are physical reasons, all right? But I know that the spiritual reasons, most importantly, is that those businesses were started to make money. That is the spiritual reason why they collapse. Now, that is the most important reason why they collapse, because they are primarily started to make money. Do you understand? Now, I have noticed something about most that succeed, the stories I have read. Almost every time, more than 75% of the times, the people always make one statement, that we never started out primarily to make money. We are not saying money was never a consideration, but this was a more important consideration. Somebody, I've quoted these stories a few times about John Johnson that started Ebony. How his own story started. But so when I talked to somebody about it, now said that he would send me the mag. So he sent me the edition that they did, I think, after he died. Yes. All right. After the man died. And the man said,